Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ. Ooh, yeah.
Well, all right, we're jamming. I want to jam it with you. We're jamming.
Kind of reminds you, Rod, of when we were in the TNC, doesn't it? Back in early June.
It's all a bit of a hazy cloud. Yeah. Yes, yeah. Isn't it?
Rod went with you to the TNC?
Mm-hmm. Room with my mom.
Oh.
Bob
Can we
Marley,
talk about that?
Bob Marley is your AOTD.
Some things you just don't talk about, sir.
What happens in Maggie's room at Turks stays in Maggie's room at Turks.
She's not going to think you're funny today.
No, she is not.
Multiple
and
shades of red.
If I don't hear about that, it will be a shock. Did you see the front page picture of the Wall Street Journal today? That picture from the International Space Station of this hurricane barreling down on Wilmington, North Carolina.
Pretty impressive, isn't it?
I have an aunt and two cousins that live in that city.
Are they evacuating?
Two of them are. One of them apparently is not.
Why?
I don't know.
Okay.
And they're in Wilmington?
Yes. Like okay. In the city of Wilmington, North Carolina. That's where I went earlier this year. Remember, my uncle died. God bless him. And we were in Wilmington. I had never heard, well, I'd heard of it, but I'd never been there. And dumb me, I didn't even look at the map in here. I had no idea where it was in North Carolina. I just knew it was in North Carolina. I didn't know it was like right on the coast. So we get there and you're like, man, it smells like salt water around here. My aunt's like, yeah, you dumb. The ocean's right over there.
Gonna have to start calling you Dana.
So my brother and I, all these video stand-ups that you see on the TV, I was on that very beach a couple of months ago. My aunt is gone. She's out. She's 85 years old.
Smart
She's
move.
Like, I'm out. Bye-bye. My younger cousin, Melissa, is apparently leaving with her one son who's still in the house. The other son is, you know, he's out of the house. He's old enough. But my cousin Pam and her wife Robin have decided apparently they're going to stay.
Fortunately, Florence is expected to downgrade to a Category 3, or as we'd like to call it, a Cat 3.
No, we don't like to call it that.
Oh, we do.
We don't call it Cat 3 Kane.
Yes. But it's supposed to downgrade to a 3 just before it makes landfall there northeast of Wilmington, North Carolina.
What's it like knowing everything?
I don't really retain much.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
You're the one who invited him on
stuff.
The show.
I know.
Yeah, you asked me, and I forgot about it. You could have just gotten away with, you know, not having me around, but then you reminded me. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll join you.
I was talking to Kelly right before we come on the air, and she says, who's on with you today? I said, why mom? And then Mackie's coming in at 4, and she goes, oh, Captain Encyclopedia is going to be on. I said, yep. And she goes, so you're just going to throw stories at him and just let him bat him right back? I'm like, yep. That's how we roll. So tell me why this storm is different, Dan.
How do you mean different?
I don't know. What makes this storm so dangerous, Dan?
Well, because of the high speed of the winds. I mean, have you ever been in a hurricane?
I have not.
It's so different than a tornado. You know, tornadoes by themselves are more powerful, but it's just this one little pinpoint. This thing is 100, 200, 300 miles wide. Mm. And so you've got hurricane force winds that are consistent, and they just keep going for hours and hours. Mm. And as it spins by you, then you get the wind coming from the other direction.
Much
See,
like
Wilmington's going to be okay because it's going to be in the southwest quadrant of the storm. So they're going to get a lot of flow offshore.
Just keeps going and going, doesn't it? Just Just the wind never dies down.
Hurricanes get me excited.
As
I
it
have
goes by,
to
you
say.
Get the wind from the other direction.
All kinds of hot air blowing around, huh?
I have to admit, though, I always wanted to be Jim Cantore hanging onto a light pole during a hurricane.
Why?
Totally would love to do that.
Yeah.
You know, but the problem with news people is they're at their worst when the weather is at its worst.
Oh, I totally agree with you, but I really want to do it.
You have no business being out here. It's horrible. Oh, God, dang it. We're never going to live.
In South Carolina,
you should have evacuated. Here I am on the coast.
I know.
Don't do what I'm doing. We set up shop. I was working in South Carolina. We set up shop in Myrtle Beach because we had a hurricane coming. And so we rented a room at a hotel right on the beach, just a little small motel. And we set up our editing equipment, you know, the old Beta tape machines and all that. We set up a little studio there. And so much water and rain came in that we were walking around in ankle-deep water inside the hotel room, the motel room there, because it was first floor. You know, we couldn't afford anything more. It was a cheap station. But, yeah, we're sloshing around.
Are you working for
KMBZ? No, this is in South Carolina.
Oh, wow.
But one time in South Carolina, had a hurricane coming, swiped by. They had evacuated the coast. They had turned all the freeways one direction heading away from the coast. Mm. And people sat on the freeway for 15 hours trying to get out. Anyway, the storm comes near, and then it kind of veers away. So there really wasn't much damage. The next morning, another reporter and I go down to Charleston. We drive down 2 hours from Columbia, and we go around the barricades. They're not manned. We go into the city. Sun is shining. It's beautiful, beautiful. And it's early in the morning, like 7 a.m, and there's nobody around because everyone had evacuated. So we're driving around Charleston, the city beautiful, and there's really nobody. There's a few trees knocked over, some old oak trees, and there was, you know, some branches and leaves in the streets. But we go down to the Battery, and we're just driving around. It was just awesome to kind of have the city to ourselves. It was pretty neat. Then people started coming back and going out and sweeping and cleaning up. Hurricanes are fascinating.
Are we in Branson yet?
No, we're in South Carolina.
Oh.
You weren't paying attention to the story.
Sorry, I was looking for Al Roker hurricane footage on YouTube.
There's just something about a hurricane because it's so massive. There's nothing you can do about it except just weather it, if you will. Jeez. And
he's okay the king of
there?
Puns today.
It's just awful. I mean, it's like slow, deadly torture in here. It's just awful.
Self-induced, I mean, Dan, Mr. Parks.
Well, I know. I love you to death, but God. Here's Al Roker weathering, pun intended, a hurricane.
2005, a Category 3 hurricane named Wilma shows off the incredible force of its wind. In fact, NBC's Al Roker is knocked right off his feet. Live shots for the Today Show are usually Roker's beat, but this day, he gets...
He even has a script in his hand. It's like, whoop. Bye.
There's nothing like standing out in 75, 80, 85 mile per hour winds trying to hold yourself up. It's kind of fun, actually.
I'm looking for more, if there's any... Because that stinks. I want, like, real... footage of Al Roker in a hurricane.
Let me show you what they've been doing this morning.
This is Mike Seidel and Al Roker.
They've been trying to secure their boats. We on the marina behind me. Good gosh. Hold on to me, Al.
I saw you. We were driving by and I saw you were having trouble. We were over by the marina. They've lost two boats already. Couple of headed down the intercoastal. And it's bad.
You know, I'm glad you showered this morning, Al. Well, anyway, it was great for you to stop by.
You see what I'm saying? When the weather's at its worst, the weather people are at their worst.
We're gonna stick it out for that band and see.
I see. We got Sunday jazz from 4 to 10 here.
Yeah.
And what is this? Yeah. The canteen.
Yeah, and I've also got a flight at 12:20 tomorrow out of Palm Beach.
I don't think so. Okay.
Whoa! About
now, here's
60,
the thing.
70 miles an hour.
Most reporters,
oh God, throw up.
Especially television reporters, never get any training about how to
not act like an idiot.
Well, beyond that, how to weather a storm, what to do in the storm, because if you're going to be there covering it, what do you do? You know, what kind of equipment do you have? Safety procedures, yada, 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 yada. They just go.
You also have to realize that for these guys, this is nerd heaven.
Yeah, like,
this is their thing.
True.
So it would be like you and I being at a, you know, KISS concert and reporting and how exciting it is and how cool it is, and this is crazy and oh man, we're never getting back to our room tonight.
Oh my God, Gene Simmons just spit blood out.
And yeah, some anchor in a new radio newsroom somewhere is making fun of you guys.
Yeah, exactly. And it's the same thing. But for them, oh, the weather, the wind, she blows.
A lot of debris recently, but it was a couple of hours ago that...
All right, now stop. This guy is in the middle of a sentence, and then he just starts falling back. Sometimes when I'm watching them do the hurricane, and I'm not... Listen, I have three family members with homes in Wilmington, North Carolina. I'm not making fun of this hurricane coming towards North Carolina.
No, of course
not. It is going to affect members, very close members of my own family. It is serious business. I get it. What I am making fun of is what we're going to start seeing on the weather report starting Thursday night, about 5 o'clock. And people are, I almost think they intentionally fall down. This guy's falling down right now in the middle of the street during Hurricane Ike.
Some theatrics.
Did you get that? Did you get it?
Oh, I double punched it. Let's do it again.
I mean, it's almost like the cameraman never misses a beat. He follows him exactly as he falls down, camera right, reporter left. It's almost like they planned it.
Yeah, they might have. You know, the thing is, though, is it is important to have somebody out there showing folks at home or in their shelters what is happening to their community.
Okay, fine,
and there's a way to do it, you know. Now, well, here's something that you don't think about when you're covering a hurricane. When you go stand out on the beach and the winds are whipping 70 to 80 miles per hour, the sand stings.
Really? Then don't stand on it.
Lesson learned.
Thought of that.
Yeah,
that I always sand loved gets the, going. It's the Ron White, the comedian, always had the bit where he says, it's not that the wind is blowing 100 miles an hour. It is what the wind is blowing
at 100 miles. That's exactly right.
Yep.
So, hey, genius, get off the beach.
Stop signs, fish, 2x4s, palm trees.
Reporters,
miniature golf things. Yeah. They blow everywhere.
There you go, Scott. Always making fun of people. You act like you're some kind of professional news person. You sound like an idiot 99% of the time that I have to listen to. How dare you? That is their job, and I'm so glad they gave you something to laugh about, you dumb ass. Okay. I am sorry that I offended you. Apparently I did, and I'm sorry about that. What are you smirking at?
If we can't pick fun at ourselves, I don't know who we can make fun of.
Yeah, I'm making fun of my own profession. I mean, am I not allowed to do that? They act like fools. Hey, I'm going to go stand on a beach, and
like
there's 174
miles. I totally want to be one of those people out there, and I think it's a dumb idea, but I still want to do it.
You want to experience the force, the power of a hurricane. There is nothing like it on this planet.
And everyone tells me I'm an idiot. I still want to do it.
All right. Yeah. Kara Marks, Rod Babcock, Dan Weinbaum. I am Scott Parks on KMBZ.
I'm a real wild one. Wild one. Wild one. Wild one. Wild one.
Story here from the Kansas City Star. They were sued over a $110 million sweepstakes and contest scheme and their assets frozen. Two men then asked a federal judge in Kansas City for living expenses. Let me paint the picture because I think the Star buried the lead here. These guys were found, I don't know if it was guilty or just responsible, or could be found responsible. I don't know if they've been found guilty yet, for running a basically a what's it called? A clearinghouse sweepstakes rod? Is that what it is? Where they come by your door and they
publisher's
give you a
clearinghouse.
Publisher's clearinghouse. Thank you. That's
yes.
what it is. And it was something like that, but unlike Publisher's Clearinghouse, and I'm assuming they give out the money that they say they give out, these guys would take the money, allegedly, and then never give it out.
Oh.
And they ran it out of North Kansas City. Their names are, let's see here, Kevin Brandis and William Graham. Now, the judge froze their assets because they're in big trouble. They've been sued. Sorry, can't be found guilty in a suit. You can be found liable. So the judge froze their assets because this was a $110 million sweepstakes that they were running over the years. They asked the judge for, quote, living expenses. One of them, Kevin Brandis, claimed that he needed $28,740 a month.
Oh, my God.
To live. $28,740 a month. His partner, William Graham, claimed in court that he needed, and you want to talk about specific, William Graham needed $14,058.39 a month. Among the reasons, Brandis, Kevin Brandis, owes payments on three properties and child support. Graham's supporting a family of five, which includes $297.50 a month for haircuts.
For his own haircuts or for the family of five?
For the family of five.
Okay.
$297.50 per month in haircuts. Defendant Graham, this is the one who's asking for a lot less, the $14,000. Defendant Graham is seeking $1,247 per month for clothing and shoes, $537 a month for exterior home maintenance, $297 a month for haircuts, and $316 per month for pet costs. What are you feeding that dog? Because I know for a fact a bag of Purina goes for $5.99 at the Mission Hy-Vee.
And you can get some cheaper stuff, too.
Yes, you can.
Oh, yeah. So what were these guys running? A sweepstakes?
Mm-hmm.
I'd never seen
Here
this
it is.
Before.
Brandis and Graham were sued in February by the FTC and the Missouri Attorney General. The complaint says the business pitched $1 million sweepstakes prizes that no one ever won and ran mail-in contests with virtually unsolvable top prize puzzles. Through deceptive practices, the suit claims their operations took in $110 million.
Wow. My goodness. How are they getting paid? That's the thing I'm
People
trying to figure out.
People would pay it just like you would
they
for
would
the
buy
Publisher's
into,
Clearinghouse. Yeah.
But they would buy into it.
You buy in for the chance to win.
Hmm.
And then nobody wins.
Oh, like with the Publisher's Clearinghouse, you're not supposed to have to buy anything.
Right, you buy magazines and stuff like that.
You order magazines, right, exactly. And there's fine print, no purchase required.
But
they brought in $110 million and never paid out.
That's what they said.
No one ever won.
Yes.
Woo.
576-7798. How is this not like grand theft? How are these cats not in prison? Their haircuts should be free, allegedly.
Taxpayer funded.
576-7798. 576-7798 to the newsroom and Kara Markser.
The U.S. giving new warnings to the Syrian president today. That's next.
We'll be in a long-term fair weather pattern that may extend all the way to next weekend. Sunshine for the afternoon hours. Our temperature will be in the low 80s, around 60 overnight and clear. Things stay comfortable tomorrow. Not too hot with our high in the low 80s and plenty of sunshine. Clear in mid-60s on Wednesday night. For Thursday, getting a little breezy, afternoon high in the mid-80s. We warm up to the upper 80s by Friday. Skies will be sunny. I'm staff meteorologist Steve Hamilton, KMBZ Weather.
It is 81 at KCI, 81 in DeSoto, 79 right now at your official weather station. KMBZ is now on radio.com. Download the app and take us everywhere you go. Kara Markser, News 98.1 KMBZ.
Rosanna, Rosanna,
Toto. On a Tuesday throwback to the 80s. No, this is not. Who did the remake of this recently? Weezer?
Yeah, but it was Africa.
Weezer, they did it in Africa.
Oh, Africa, that's right.
And I don't think it's as good as the original.
I think it's terrible because it's not different.
Well, I think it is a little different, but not in a good way.
It's just softer. We're talking about these two guys here in Kansas City, Kevin Brandis and William Graham, who are being sued. They allegedly ran a sweepstakes. I was going to say a Ponzi scheme because it's almost what it sounds like. A sweepstakes out of North Kansas City that nobody ever won, according to the FTC and the Missouri Attorney General, Josh Hawley. In fact, they pitched multi-million dollar sweepstakes prizes that no one ever won. This is according to the Star. And then mail-in contests, read that, targeted at older people, with virtually unsolvable top prize puzzles. Through deceptive practices, the suit says their operations took in $110 million from customers.
Yeah, and Brandis has a house at the Lake of the Ozarks.
And in Florida.
Looking to sell it for $3 million, eating up $8,000 a month in mortgage. Look at
that. It's a nice house.
Yeah, it's a very nice house.
Left with no money and facing rapidly mounting legal bills, each man sought limited access to the frozen accounts for living expenses. As we mentioned, Brandis asked the judge for $28,740 a month, but noted that much of that would have been soaked up by three properties that he maintains. Expenses on his two houses, one in Florida and one, as Dan mentioned, at the Lake of the Ozarks, cost Brandis $11,750 a month in mortgage alone, according to his filing in federal court. There is an additional $5,000 monthly expense for a leased property in Independence. Add in groceries, cell phones, travel. He lives in Florida but runs his business here. Toiletries, clothing, restaurants, fuel, pet expenses, and health insurance. If his asset-frozen businesses are not allowed to continue covering the Brandis clan.
Now, these guys have not been found guilty, right?
This is a civil lawsuit.
Right. It's a civil lawsuit. So
why are they not being brought up on criminal charges?
That's a good question. Maybe they just don't have the evidence? I don't know. Will people ever get their money back for this scheme?
How do you do it?
Yeah, right. How would you do that? How would you return the $26.48 to Martha?
Yeah, I gave $30 to the scheme, and I never won anything, and I didn't realize until now it was unwinnable. I didn't realize the puzzle was unsolvable.
Where does the money go? The $110 million, and who will get
Where has it gone?
Right.
It's gone to a house worth $3 million at the Lake of the Ozarks.
Right.
A house in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
$300 a month in haircuts.
Haircuts. That's There's some happy salons out there.
But let me expand this just a little bit. And I understand a lot of people play the lottery, or they play Powerball or whatever. But with that, that is either state-backed,
mm-hmm.
okay, and you actually see proof of people winning that stuff. Why would you give, and I'm asking out of ignorance, because I do not play the lottery. I've never gambled in my life. The off times where I've actually bought my daughters a lottery ticket, This is how anti-gambling I am. And I have no problem, by the way, with anybody else gambling. I just don't do it myself. I'm afraid I would like it too much. I have a lot of people call it an addictive personality. I'm afraid if I start buying lottery tickets, I won't stop. So when I have bought lottery tickets, I buy them for my daughters. And I literally, this is so dumb. Rod, you'll just want to kick me in my throat when you hear how I do this. I'm so afraid of becoming addicted to gambling. I will give my daughters a dollar to go make their bed or something stupid. Go sweep the floor, do something, load the dishwasher. I don't care. I will then give them a dollar for the chore. Then they give me the dollar back and I go down to the convenience store and buy them a lottery ticket with that money. That is how dumb I am. And that's the way I write that off, the way I write it off in my brain, is it's not my money anymore because I'm paying them to do me a chore.
And now you're just taking their money
to buy them a lottery ticket.
Right.
That's how dumb I
am. Are you really worried that you would become addicted to that stuff?
I have never gambled in my life. I've never done the I'm not saying we do it here at the radio station, but if we were to do the March Madness pool, if we were to do it, I would not participate in it.
Right. So and you haven't gone to the casinos? And
I've never
the
been.
The thing we do every year that the whole building participates in?
What?
Never mind.
I didn't hear that either.
The only time I've ever been to a casino, I've been to a casino twice.
Right.
It was to see Ace Frehley.
Okay.
And it was to play in Almost Kiss.
Okay. So it's performances.
I have never.
You never stepped onto the gaming floor?
Never in my life.
Interesting.
I've never stepped on a gaming floor in my life. Interesting. Yeah.
I once stepped up to a craps table in Las Vegas at 9 o'clock at night and left at 5 in the morning. That was a hot table.
Huh?
It was a hot table. That means it was a good table. There was a lot of winning going on.
For you?
For me and for all the other people standing around the table.
But why would people...
For hours.
Back to my original question.
It was fun.
If somebody came up to your door or called you and said, hey, we're running a sweepstakes.
Let me in. I want to participate.
Why would you give money to that?
Right.
Is it desperation, the hope that I might be able to win $100 million or $50 million or $1 million?
Yeah, that's what it is. It's the hope. It's like, well, if I don't do this, I could miss out, and I could win. I mean, that's a very powerful drug.
And when do we find out who won? Well, we'll find out on September 30th.
We'll let you know. Okay. Yeah. And then they never come through.
576-7798. Somebody says, I won't gamble either. I know myself. Yeah. Why would somebody do this? Have you done it? Were you sucker punched, allegedly, by these men? Why would you give money to a sweepstakes on the off chance that you're going to win $1 million? I've never understood why people play the lotto. I've never understood it. You buy a dollar ticket. Dana does it all the time.
$2 ticket now.
Is it $2?
Yes.
You buy a $2 ticket. You know you're not going to win. The odds of you winning is so minuscule. But I ask out of ignorance, why do you do it?
Because maybe it could happen. I haven't played. I drive by the big billboards, and I go, ooh, yeah, I want to play. And then I completely forget about it, and I never do.
576-7798. Why are people so suckered into this? 576-7798. Is it the hope, the 1 in 200 million chance that tomorrow morning you'll wake up and not have to work? Ellen Schenck has been playing the lottery for as long as I've known her. And I don't think she's ever won. Maybe $100. Scott, here's an interesting question. Scott, do you invest in stocks on the stock market? Isn't that the same thing as gambling?
It's a different form of making a bet, if you will.
576-7798. Around minding your own business, and Dana's in Hawaii, and then Joel Nichols walks in.
Of all people.
I wandered this way.
What are you doing, you handsome devil?
Well, listen to you. I'm glad it's radio, first of all, so they can't prove you wrong. I'm walking my class through here, Johnson County Community College. I teach
there. Like they want to be in radio?
Well,
or?
They're interested in broadcasting and all the various iterations of broadcasting. And so,
there are very many of them now.
Boy, there are a lot of them now.
Uh-huh.
So I've taught there, you know, for 26 years or something like that, and we usually to visit.
I knew you had taught out there. I didn't know you had been out there for...
Yeah, over a quarter of a century of warping young minds.
Do you make them call you professor?
Yes, but I make my wife call me that too, so I don't think that's really relevant. I don't think that matters.
I can teach you a thing or two. Call me the professor.
Yeah. So no.
Yeah. You're getting excited.
It's when I serve detention that things really get exciting.
Speaking of exciting, are you watching Florence?
I'm kind of keeping an eye on it. Here's the thing. I did weather for a long time.
Yes, you did, over at Channel 9. That's where I first met you.
Until they fired me, and then 41 fired me. But that's,
this is becoming a trend.
These
lately,
are wounds.
The way,
these are wounds that I appreciate you digging up and throwing salt.
Sticking our thumb in it.
And while I admire people who really know weather, I really do admire them. I was a broadcaster who happened to do weather.
Yeah, they always called you the weathercaster.
Yeah, I was a weathercaster because I'm not really a meteorologist. My degree is not in meteorology.
Yeah.
And I don't have an AMS seal or any of that kind of thing.
Did you ever want one?
What's that?
Did you ever want one?
I never did personally. I had a news director once who said, "Would you be interested if we kind of paid the freight as far as getting it?" And I said, "Well, if you want to pay for it, I'll take the classes." But then he realized that I had no integrity. So what was the point? you're already lacking integrity and credibility. Why spend the money? But when I went to the University of Wisconsin-Madison, I did take a course in meteorology and took the 6-week exam and flagged it and then dropped the class and then spent 30 years talking about weather. But I respect people who are weather people. When they first started doing the AMS seal thing back in Madison, Wisconsin, a long time ago, it became a thing. And
right.
One of the other stations in Madison went on a little article and said, this person over here at the other station, he's not really AMS seal certified. And our main weather guy, Elmer Childress, was a gospel singer who did weather. So he wasn't AMS certified either. They're not really AMS seal certified. So being a smart aleck, that first weekend night when I worked again, I actually created out of cardboard paper a seal, that kind of seal,
right.
And put that up and said, "Now I am, seal certified."
There you go. I'm seal certified.
And I was in big trouble.
Were you really?
Yeah. They weren't too happy with me picking on the other station or, being lighthearted about it.
I don't mean to pry. It's
please really, pry.
But I'm going to dig into your wounds here for a second.
Thank you.
I'm serious.
Here's some salt.
You're one of the best TV personalities in this city. Yeah. Why are you not on television?
Nobody loves me, Scott.
I do.
Well, I'll tell you.
You're funny. You're sort of good looking.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah. A lot of the decision for leaving 41, it was not my decision. I think there was...
Yeah,
there
when
was,
you get fired, that's usually not...
Right. But the thing is, they kind of spun it a little bit as though, well, he's old and he's retiring. He's kind of...
I see.
And that's not really the case. The case is that there was a financial decision made, and they said, "We just, can't really supposedly afford what they're paying." I don't make anywhere near what you guys make.
Right.
And so
you must really be poor.
Yes, Dan, I am.
But who does, Joel?
But they said it's a financial decision, and so that was that. But I've not. It's not like anybody's busting down my door now that I'm
really?
Available. No.
But now you are
radio or TV. Nobody is.
You're on this thing, and I heard of it. It might last.
It's a podcast. It's very good.
You're doing something with the internet.
The interweb, is that what it is?
Yes.
Is it called the interweb?
And it could take over things.
Don't act dumb.
I don't think so.
You have a podcast.
I do have a podcast.
And you did one that I heard a couple weeks ago. You did one with Johnny Dare.
The great Johnny Dare, yeah.
And who else have you had on there?
Marie Antonia.
Yeah, that's right.
She and I worked together years ago, and we were the first morning news team in town.
Yep,
we did first
launched
news.
Launched in
1980. In the 80s. Well, she was there before I was, and our actual first news, what they used to call it, I don't know if they still do, was in like 88 that we started.
Okay.
And then we were together, and then I had some members of the band Hembree, who are a hot new band, I am told. This local actor, Michael McQuarrie, his is on there somewhere. He's a crazy, crazy person in kind of the old Hollywood. He's just nuts. I don't really know what he does. You have to listen to find out what he does.
It's called You Should Talk,
you
with,
should talk
Joel
with
Nichols,
Joel Nichols,
right?
Yes.
And you can find it on any podcasting platform?
Yeah, apparently. All right. So. And Jasper.
You don't know anything about it, do you?
No, I just sit in a chair and babble.
Okay.
And then the younger people go, "You're done." So, and then I go and sit on the front lawn.
Stop talking, old man.
Get off my yard! Why's the music so loud?
Joel, in all seriousness, I heard it, and it is very good.
Well, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Yeah, we had Jasper. He's
great.
The latest one. And then coming up, we've got Madison Ward and the Mama Bear, who are terrific.
Yep, Scott Parks.
And we've got the guys from Tomstown.
And Scott Parks.
We've got those guys. And then we've got Cassie Joy from The Voice.
Yeah.
She's done one.
She performed
And
here.
If I was honored enough, I would ask Scott Parks to be on one. But I think you're you know.
Well, you could go on as your role as the NAACP something. What were you?
Well, first of all, don't diminish it. I was the 2018 winner of the NAACP Award for Media Diversity. Thank you very much.
Congratulations.
Thank you, Joel. Yeah.
Wow.
Thank you.
First you've learned about it, isn't it?
I'm embarrassed to say it. Well, how come that isn't known around the entire community?
There's like an embargo on it or something.
Don't think that plaque doesn't hang in my house proudly.
You've got the T-shirt to prove it.
I do have a T-shirt to prove it.
Wow. You should be proud of that.
But you made yourself.
I didn't make it myself. Kelly made it for me, and I picked it up. But yes, I did not get a T-shirt as part of the award, so I made one myself.
Well, yeah, you didn't want to make them have to pay for it.
I'm proud of my award.
You should be proud of it. You've won lots of awards. Both of you are.
But none more prouder than the NAACP.
None more prouder?
That's right. That's a word.
Certainly didn't win the Grammar Award.
But you have both won multiple. You've won many, many awards in your broadcast careers.
True.
That's nice. I've never won anything.
What?
Do you know that? That's true.
Really?
You're lying.
No, I'm not lying. My son, when I hit 25 years at Channel 9, my youngest son had a trophy made for me that says, "Now you can't say you've never won anything."
Aww.
And gave that to me.
I feel sad for you.
I know. And he's in juvie now. So that's even, you know, adds to the pathos of the whole story.
Here you go, Joel. When you go connect with your crowd over here, just take some of the plaques off the wall.
May I?
Hey,
Rod. Oh,
there's
wow.
One. There's one for you.
I got that. Why is this a specimen
Rod
bottle?
Just brought you a trophy cup.
What's inside this? That's not lemonade.
Oh, my God.
I'm turning this down.
Ladies and gentlemen, the great Joel Nichols. Yes. Thanks for coming in, my
Thank
friend.
You.
Great
so
to see you,
good
Joel.
To see you. Let's get to the newsroom. Here is Kara Markser.
Happening now on KMBZ, communities on the East Coast prepping for Florence. More next.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.